You are listening to the This Life podcast with Dr. Drew Pinsky and me, Mike Catherwood.
That's right. We're doing it this time. So check it out. Thanks for listening.
You live.
Yes, indeed. You live. It's a special This Life podcast with my radio co-host, Michael Catherwood. People have been asking us to recreate the magic.
Oh,
from
the magic.
The days at late at night when we take phone calls, and oh, here we're doing it now. Of course, you can hear Mike and I any day, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 Pacific time on KBC 790 AM for Midday Live. We're also proudly sponsored by Alliant University, the Integrity Card, and you'll hear about that more after the breaks. You can find it all at drdrew.com. We appreciate you all out on Facebook and on YouTube, and we do carefully select these sponsors. Click on the banners at drdrew.com and get acquainted with these amazing products. And please do tell a friend about the podcast, and we appreciate it. It is much appreciated. Speaking of much appreciation, I appreciate Heather McDonald being here today.
Oh, Heather.
Yeah, I know.
You're welcome.
Did you hear what he said about your legs before you got in the room?
No, please tell me.
I knew you'd like this.
Tell me.
Not enough people know how great your legs are. Just not enough. There's just not enough effort put into
it. I know how your sister gives you crap about your
legs. The gams.
My chicken legs and your flat ass. I mean, thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate how good looking you are.
Thank you. I wish my wife did.
Oh.
I think she does.
I think so, too.
I don't think so.
Okay.
They met on Loveline on the radio.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and she immediately was smitten. Immediately.
Almost like the story that I created in my head that didn't happen, where you were doing a bikini contest in the radio show, and that's how you are talking
exactly,
to Susan.
It's not exactly how
I know
it happened.
I found out the truth that that's not what happened.
It's
but
close.
That's what I had imagined for years, where you just in a bikini and
you
then
pink from head to toe.
Like a ring girl? Like just walking around the studio?
Yes, in a tiny studio.
Close,
and then
close.
And then Drew fell in love with her.
Some socks with high heels, you know, that 80s thing.
Well, yeah. I know how Drew is so single-minded. You know, like when he's into something, he's
zero.
Utterly incapable of even acknowledging anything else exists. So I can only imagine he got one look at Susan. He was like, whoa, I must get to know her. People are probably talking to him. He's just walking
he's
right
so
by
He's so red
him.
Right now. He's so red. Can we get a camera?
It's on me. I got Facebook and YouTube.
That's so cute. You guys are such a good, nice, horny couple for each other. I love
they
it.
Really are.
25 years later, just still.
26 coming up next week.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's nice. How long have you and Peter been married?
17.
See?
That's long enough.
Oh, what?
He
she,
was. A,
she
he
changes
was,
it?
That's a good run.
Get a new one?
I was out with my girlfriends last night, and for the first part, the day went too long, like it was a drinking day. So for the first couple hours, I'm just like, oh, I'm just like ready to get out there. And then towards the end, I'm like, oh my God, thank God I'm married. I want to kill myself.
Yeah,
so
right.
Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need to go out just to appreciate.
My wife right. and I went out. We rarely do. We went out last night. It was a friend of ours surprise 40th birthday party. And all the guys there are having their, you know, way too expensive cocktails. And all the girls are drinking their bullshit. And everyone's having.
It seemed like you're having a great time.
I was having a horrible time, and I didn't want to go. But this guy's he's a nice guy. He's a friend of ours. And adults partying, you know, especially in that weird age where you're not in your 20s anymore, and you're
yes.
certainly not like embracing being in your silver years. We're, you know, my wife and I'm 40. She's 40. I'm 38. So we're at that like, it's kind of okay to dance and get shit faced, but it's kind of not. And she's really glaring at me with this level of discontent that I could sense. You know, she wasn't outwardly saying it, but she's like, you're such a bump on a log. Look at me. I'm letting loose, having fun like all normal humans should. And then we got home, and we were like tucking into bed for about 10, 15 minutes, and she's like, all right. The drinks are wearing off. I really appreciate you being you. Like, you know, there's that moment where it was like all the lights and the music are loud and she thinks I'm such a stick in the mud. But then she realizes like, oh, no, actually, this is probably a lot better than the drunk asshole who was like his pit stains were all exposed and his balls are hanging out of his jeans. And
yeah.
Shitty affliction.
That's
shirt.
What you need to go out. Or no way was anyone still wearing an affliction shirt.
No one was wearing
in the
affliction
LA
shirt,
area
no.
in 2017. I do go on the road and I see affliction shirts, but they're not in LA.
What about skin tight Ed Hardy? The only person I still see wearing the rock and the Ed Hardy is Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, is he alive?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's good.
So tell everybody about Juicy Scoop.
So Juicy Scoop is my podcast, everybody, and I hope you check it out.
She scoops up juice.
I do. I scoop up the juice. No, it's just, it's, I love, I've always said that expression, give me the juicy scoop. So I talk about hot topics, you know, things that are juicy, things, it could be like, you know, something with celebrities. It could be a scandal. It could be a murder. It could be
somebody has a
whatever.
Question.
Whatever's
Veronica,
juicy.
Veronica has a question for you about juicy.
Okay.
Veronica.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi. It's Veronica from Washington State.
Okay.
Sweet.
And?
I just wanted to ask Heather, how does she come up with her topics for Juicy Scoop? I'm a big fan of her podcast.
Oh, yay.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's like, it's whatever I think is going on that's juicy. Like, it could be, we did a whole podcast on The Keepers, that Netflix documentary that was about the horrible murder of this nun. And there was a big scandal that the priests were raping the Catholic schoolgirls. And since I went to a Catholic high school, I've actually spoken to nuns about this. And so I did that with my friend. And so sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's about the fact that Ben Affleck, I found out years ago that he was dating that SNL executive.
Years ago.
Before they broke up?
Yes.
Oh.
I remember exactly where I was, like how people remember Kennedy got shot.
And what did they say? Who said what to you?
Someone in the writer's room said they had a friend at Chelsea Lately. They had a friend who worked at a hotel in New York, and that Ben and this married executive would always go and meet there. And so this was like four years ago or something. So when then the story came out, I was like, okay, those hotel people are the ones that really do get the blind items
juicy,
and the scoops because
the
they see
scoops.
It. Yeah.
Or Orlando Bloom's dick. Did you hear that story? That was awesome.
What?
Well, he fucked a chick out of a job.
Relax.
Oh, that's
it was amazing.
Right.
It was he's such an amazing human being. I love him so much.
That was another topic too. Like, should this girl have been fired because she slept with Orlando Bloom?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Stop your bitching. You got to be on a show. We're talking about you now. You were a bartender. You weren't CEO of some company. And if the people feel that you're now a liability because you're screwing A-listers and talking about it.
No, she was pumped. She was like, no regrets. Worth it. She was talking to the tabloids in England.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you're right. I'm a cocktail waitress at a four-star hotel, and Orlando Bloom asked me to come up to his room with him. Oh, well, worth it. He was amazing.
Yeah.
Huge dog.
Veronica, what would you like her to be talking about?
Yeah, she left.
She left? She's not there.
She's like, this wasn't very juicy.
No, I'm still here.
Oh.
What topics would you like to hear?
The serial daters. The serial dater story.
Yes.
Super juicy.
Yes, I get. Okay, so I did this story. I don't know if I ever told you that, Dr. Drew, but I had a friend who was dating this divorced dad paddleboarder in the Manhattan Beach area.
Paddleboarder.
And I thought he was cute. He had two boys, you know, everything. Stayed at him for a while. He borrowed money from her. He lived in a $6,000 a month rental, had a nice car, the whole thing. It was around tax time. Oh, I just need this, $3,000 to whatever.
That's how he's getting
and
month to month.
When she told me about it, I was like, you know, I got to tell you, Tara, because she came on the show and I revealed who she was. She doesn't care anymore. But I was like, I got to tell you, Tara, you've only been dating him a few weeks. He's asking you for that money. That means not only does who can't get $3,000 off a credit card? Okay, so you must have some real financial issues. But this, shouldn't he be trying to impress you? Like, you're the person? That means he's exhausted every other go-to person in his life. Anyway, so then it got weird. Then she found out through people, there was this, he was dating four other women at the same time.
All money.
All the women came on my show.
Oh.
They became friends. One was on the phone, two were in person, two or three were in person.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I said, you know what? We didn't say his name at the time, but I said, I'm putting it out there. And my dream is that, you know, once he gets evicted from his place, that like Pacific Heights, remember that Michael Keaton movie? He's like that kind of a guy. I don't know if you've ever saw that movie, but they're like come all jazzed up and dressed up and the person doesn't do their proper homework, you know, or they say, oh, my God, my crazy ex-wife, I have horrible credit, but I'll get the check tomorrow. Then they move in. They can't get him out for 4 months. He's like that. So I said, I go, my dream is that someone's going to listen to this and they're going to hear from their girlfriend that she's dating this divorced dad paddleboarder, and I will have saved someone.
Yeah.
And it's happened so many times.
Multiple times.
Yes. And then he gets real angry. Like all of a sudden, you know, and then I see all the screen text where a girl's like, I heard about you and I don't want to see you anymore. He's like, those women are lying. I'm suing them. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, and I just love the power of just telling
on people. Was he a Scooby-Doo villain?
No, those women are lying, see? If it wasn't for those meddling kids.
Yes, that's my paddleboard dad voice.
But it's the power of women.
It's
together.
The power of women together. Awesome. And also just like, why? And they were shaking and they were so scared. And then now, later on, I was like, yeah, his name's Kirk Obermeyer. Okay? Don't lease to him, people.
Good.
Don't date him. He is awful. And I don't care. You know, and I'm not. He didn't do a crime to me. I'm just saying he's a cheater, and he borrowed money, and he didn't pay it back.
Truth is the defense against slander, right?
I don't know why, because I usually hate any form of like girl power entertainment, but I love those movies where the wife and the mistress get together, and they find out there's another mistress, and they all get work together.
I had a better one that happened.
I love it.
Okay, so these girls wrote me this story together, and they called it, the subject came into mind, and it said Ginger with No Soul. And they both realized they dated a horrible ginger redhead guy in the DC area.
Blake Griffin.
I can't remember his name right now, but anyway, we didn't say his name, but I got the letter and I kind of forgot about it. And then going through all my stuff, I was like, oh, this letter was kind of interesting. You know, I had to fill up like an extra show, and I go, I'm going to read you about Ginger with No Soul. Oh my God. So I read it, and all these people, he had since moved to Dallas. Everybody, the besieged with people from Dallas of his whole story. And he told the same thing to everybody, just like the paddleboarder. Like the paddleboarder always had a story where he'd go to the girl's house and he'd be like, oh, my knucklehead 16-year-old son just took my car and my wallet's in it. Could you float me some money for tonight? Or I have to go to a meeting and I have no credit card or anything. And someone give him $300. He was the head of, he did something with Little League, and he would do it to some of the parents at Little League, you know, $40 here, $60 here. No one's going to ask for that back. You know, you're just going to be like, what a jerk, he didn't give back to me. Okay. So this guy, Ginger with No Soul, he would tell the same stories too. He would talk about, come to my boathouse and, you know, this and that. And, he sent the same dick pic to all these girls. And because he was a ginger,
can I get that?
He put it in a black and white filter. So it's a little more flattering because we don't need to see the freckles and stuff.
Oh, my God.
And but I saw it. I didn't post it, but I did see it. Yeah, and it was kind of a hot picture. Like, I could get it. But the fact that he used the same one over and over. And then there were...
That could be on the up and up. I doubt... I'm not dick pic guy because I have a small dick. And it would be, first, they haven't come up with cameras with enough pixels to pick up my penis. But I would imagine dick pic serial dater guy, you do have one stock, just like you would have one stock.
Like
kind
a headshot?
Like, yeah, like a headshot. You don't, I mean, do you really take numerous?
High red headshot? I don't know. Well, okay, this is worse. What about using the same sex toys on the same girls? When they got together, they realized that those were the same sex toys that they used.
I'd have them soaking in that jar of stuff like at a barbershop, you know, where the combs are. They just,
barbershop.
I just have them waiting by the
bed.
But
you know what was interesting about both these serial dater guys? All the women were really great girls and like catches and had, you know, jobs and were classy. And
that, you know what, I found through really getting so disturbed by kind of this common thread of this happening through my wife's female friends.
Right.
That's almost always the victim of it because they are more trusting.
Yeah.
Because they're nice people.
Girls that are catches are the girls that aren't, you know, haven't cheated on a husband in the past or aren't, you know, skeezing on other. And the girls that are doing that kind of stuff, they never fall for it.
And then
they're like, bullshit a bullshitter.
And then they're so mortified because they're like, how could this happen to me? I'm smart. I'm college educated. I'm this and that. Yeah. And it's like, why? Don't be so hard on yourself. So you trusted a guy that told you compliments and took you out and was attractive, so it was wrong for you to believe him? I mean, who's going to fall in love if constantly you're like, wonder if this guy's dating 18 other people or going to take advantage of me? You know, you have to have an open heart to let it happen, and then you feel so bad.
Let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about your sister and brother.
great.
A little bit. Just to give people a little. They,
oh,
they,
sure.
Can they still get to the pod that we did?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Well, one of the great parts about working in recovery is seeing former patients successfully move on. And I've had patients that have come up to me years later and shake my hand and say, you know what, sometimes people are kicked out of treatment. And many of these folks move on to become mental health professionals themselves. And, of course, the field of psychology is vast. The need for competent practitioners is huge. If you're considering this rewarding career, I urge you to consider the California School of Professional Psychology at Alliant University. Now, I've known them for a long time at Alliant University. I've spoken at their past events. It was founded in 1969. It's boasts an alumni network of nearly 50,000 people worldwide. And Alliant has fostered many of today's mental health pioneers, authors, and advocates. CSPP at Alliant University hosts both on-ground and online programs in business psychology, marriage and family therapy, clinical counseling. They also offer APA-accredited doctoral programs in clinical psychology that can allow for specialization in child psychology, clinical forensic psychology, and integrated psychology. And the faculty is crazy. It's made up of leaders and historical figures like Abraham Maslow, Carl Rogers, Viktor Frankl, some of the true fathers of modern psychology. For more information, and I worked alongside of these students as well, by the way, in the clinical setting, as well as having lectured at the institution. So for more on the California School of Professional Psychology, CSPP, at Alliant, click the Alliant banner on our website or visit Alliant, Alliant.edu, Alliant.edu. We're back with a special You Live episode of This Life Podcast. Hi, everybody on Facebook and YouTube. And Heather McDonald is our guest. Juicy Scoop is where you can find her. And you and I did a multi-series podcast, mini-series.
Yes.
On your brother, and mostly, right?
Like a serial?
Well, I have a brother.
But isn't that mostly we talked about? We seemed like we were...
I've shared so much with you. I can't remember what was on the podcast and what was like over dinner.
Can they find that where?
Yeah, well, if you go to Juicy, wherever you listen to podcasts, Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, I think there's like 150 episodes and you can, descriptions on everyone and you can go and listen to anyone you want anytime for free.
So you look for the description of you and me doing
yes.
something.
Yes. Okay. Probably right. like 6 months
and
ago.
And we were reading letters from jail.
Yes. So my brother is in jail and he's got about 2 years left. Uh-oh. And there are some doozies. You haven't heard one of the greatest ones was it was to Peter and it
her
said
husband, your husband.
Yeah, my husband. And not for Peter only, not
yeah.
for me.
And so naturally, you not only read up, you're talking about it on your podcast.
I mean, I have to tell you, they're sad and they're funny. Like, basically, he called Peter a pussy for never trying crack. And then went in such great
Listen,
detail.
Listen, he has a good point there. I will tell you, as a former crack
okay,
addict.
Okay, as a crack addict, I didn't even know that my brother ever did crack. I knew he was an alcoholic and did pot and
What's
stuff.
He in prison for again?
I don't want to say.
Okay.
But it was violent. Like assault yeah. type of thing.
Yeah. How long has he been? Yeah, you said 2 years left. How long has it been so far?
Two.
Okay.
Two left. And so it's not his first time. There's been several times. We would go. There was one prison kind of past. I just remember we'd pass Magic Mountain to get there. And I was like, oh, why can't we go to Magic Mountain instead of visit Rob?
Listen to me.
Oh, I said his name. Who cares?
You should be so happy about this. Now, obviously, there's a lot of grief that comes with having someone you love.
Yes.
Live a lifestyle like this. But at the same time, your family looks at you like a real fucking prize. Because imagine if your brother was Barack Obama,
or something. And I was the loser comic,
yes.
like doing my lame podcast and walking around going from club to club like a hooker. I mean, but I didn't come from a family of doctors.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm killing it.
Killing it.
I'm killing the game.
Wait, you have a successful lawyer assistant.
Yes, I do have a successful lawyer. Well, she's a criminal defense attorney who has to help him out all the time. So that's a bummer for her. But let me tell you about the letter, okay?
Okay.
He got in the details of how to make the crack, where to get it. You would think you were reading a Blue Apron recipe. It was the details of this thing. I had no idea. And he was telling us exactly where to get the copper bristle pad, where to get And how much it cost, because he has like a memory for stuff like that, where the head shop was that I've probably driven by a million times and not noticed. Then he gets into my sister's husband, who is a wonderful guy too, calls him a pussy, and that he goes, and ever since he stopped, he doesn't even drink soda because like he gave up soda a couple years ago. So he's just like, so now my kids, because we share everything with my kids, why not? So
they're 9 and 10.
Yeah. They're 14 and 11. But my son will be like, stop being such a nerd and smoke some crack, Mom. He's like, God, Dad's such a loser for not smoking crack. Oh, and then he also said to smoke the crack in my younger son's room so that I wouldn't see it or smell it. And then Brandon's like, why does he want you to smoke crack in my room? I don't want you smoking crack in my room. We're just reading it. So we just shared it with the listeners.
Does he have any kids, your brother?
No, thank God. Yeah. Never was married, never procreated.
We went line by line through multiple letters.
You must have loved it.
Oh, and there's
Drew.
So many
they
more.
Were quite
we'll have to go through. I found the manifesto. I found the notebook.
And then your sister, how are things going there?
So I have a sister who I am on my third restraining order, because over the years I'd get one and then things would mellow out, and
right.
it's kind of hard to get another. If there isn't a problem, you don't want to. Who cares? Who needs to spend a day at Van Nuys Courthouse, quite honestly? So then things would happen, and well, okay, then my dad got sick, so we kind of made up, and then she freaked out again really bad. And so then I have another one, and that one is going to expire in about 3 years. So I have a whole big campaign with my listeners. It's called Get Me Behind Gates. Before 2019. I need to be like in a gated community.
Is Peter working
on Daryl?
Well, we are redoing the front of our house, so it'll be a little more attractive. So maybe we can sell it. But I really like my house. I really don't want to move.
Susan, did you know that Heather's sister attacked me at her when we went and saw the film?
She didn't attack you. She wanted to. Can we say the F word here? We can.
That. We got what you're going.
It was the greatest thing ever. She said it to it. You. She did not realize you were his wife, and he came. Dr. Drew and Susan came to my taping of my special, and my sister's really having a great time because Nikki Six is there too. So it's like between Nikki Six and Dr. Drew, she's just gonna go crazy.
Check the pants.
And so yeah, exactly. And then she goes, "Oh, that Dr. Drew's so freaking sexy. Don't you just want to fuck him?" And she's like, "Well, actually, I have been for 25 years."
It was awesome.
It's got to be nice for you, Susan. I mean, it makes you feel good.
I mean, I was fine with it.
Is that how you learned about it?
Yes. I think you told me, I think. She was just taking a lot of pictures and everything. You know, and it was like, and that's. How did she react
when you said that, Susan? Because that's what we don't know.
She was kind of like, oh. Oh, really? And I was like, it's okay.
She didn't say,
you're gonna have him.
No. She didn't say, can I smell your fingers?
I get it all the time.
See that, Drew? She gets it all the time.
Well, yeah.
And I love that you're wearing purple today. I feel like you always wear a black T-shirt.
I typically do. Susan tried to get me to wear a black one.
No, I like it.
Eggplant.
Yeah.
That would be a floating head.
Who doesn't love an eggplant?
He's
thick eggplant.
He's the radio pro.
I'd be a floating head.
Oh, that's why. It was probably difficult for you not to put on that black T-shirt.
He's also psychic. He knew that was going to be black.
I don't understand I totally get why Drew or Henry Rollins does the black T-shirt everywhere. But only British men have man tits, and they're like, let me wear my tight black T-shirt. Like Ricky Gervais and Simon Cowell both have horrible physiques, like really putrid physiques. And they're like, let me just show this off everywhere I go with my uniform of a tight-fitting black shirt.
They wear white, too, which is extra weird. Let's talk to Esme.
Oh, Esme.
Esme.
Greatest Mexican in Wisconsin.
Esme, you're there?
Hey, you live.
You live. We missed you. John Leiterman called in
earlier.
Thanks
for bringing the magic back.
We're trying. You guys have been asking for it, so we're bringing it.
Thank you for bringing Mexi back.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, explain about...
Wait, Esme.
Oh, so Esme is the only Hispanic in Wisconsin?
She's the only one we talk to.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm just the only one who calls in your radio show every day. That's all.
All right.
There's gardeners.
What's going on?
Well, I'm wondering if I can even ask this question. Is it possible for Pervy Pedro to meet Heather?
I kind of like Rudy to meet Heather. How about that?
Rudy's already met Heather like 1,000 times.
I'll settle for that.
Okay.
But also, Pervy Pedro is
is a loner. He doesn't talk.
Well, and
to
he
her.
Was.
Is
he
this
was
a real person or like a character?
No, we
she
took
does.
A, we took a call. Okay, okay. We took a call from this guy on Loveline one night, and there's always there was gross people calling Loveline all the time.
I
but
know
this guy.
She remembers.
I've been listening to it for
this guy
years.
Was off the chain, and he didn't even have a point to his call. He was just like,
"Wait a second, hold a second. Do we have any problem with Facebook talking about this kind of thing?"
There's no cussing.
No,
it's getting pretty gross. This one.
I go. Let's talk to Pedro in El Monte, and he goes.
Sometimes, I like to take the clay.
The plate?
No, the clay.
And I did that too. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And he was talking about the fun button of a woman's genitalia.
Okay.
But he was a.
And then I tug on it.
You say he bites it.
And sometimes I bite it. Yeah. And when I go on a date, I make a girl pasta. I cook her marinara sauce.
It was weird.
I was like, what the hell? And it was too esoteric to be a fake call. Like
No, he was real. He was
and,
real.
And,
well, what was the super, point?
I think to we be were, disgusting.
There
I
might
know.
Have been a question, but we were too overwhelmed by the presentation
That's
and the content
so funny.
To get to
so
it.
There
we
you go.
Like, we didn't want to go any
it.
Further.
I remember the question.
What was
oh,
it?
What oh, was it?
Okay.
Go ahead.
He was calling in because his girlfriend was so sensitive on her clee, but then later on he dropped that he was biting it and tugging on
right.
it.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
that was
oh, right, and right. I think that's
so
where
sensitive.
I right. think oh. that's I think right. he's the caller that we discovered Ano.
And then if he gets too sensitive, so I do Ano.
I go what? Ano.
Oh.
Ano.
So there's a juicy scoop for you, Heather.
There you go, Heather.
Yes.
So now you know whenever you're dealing with maybe one of your Latin lovers to call it Ano.
Okay.
You're referring to backdoor
sure,
action.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. All right, Esme, thanks.
Thank you, Esme.
Good to talk
as
to
always.
You.
As always.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Katie. Katie. Katie is wondering about stimulants.
Hi,
Katie.
Dr. Drew.
Hey there. Go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you for taking time out of your day to take this call and provide this service. My question is in regards to the usage of stimulants, school environments.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost every undergrad I know and like I speak with that is pursuing a pre-medical or science degree either takes stimulants like knowing they don't have ADHD or like takes it believing they do have ADHD. But like to me, the result is the same, like have more periods of concentration and ability to study.
Right. Okay. So here's my,
I think that's like far past like,
here's my basic, I'll give my basic opinion on this, which is that, of course, it's not okay. It's dangerous. These are serious medication that can cause manic episodes, addiction, sleep disturbances, cardiac arrest. There's a lot of stuff that can go wrong. So there's no reason to put yourself at that risk, number one. Number two, it has been shown to enhance academic performance. So you can't tell people it hasn't because there's literature out there that says it does. But despite that, my number three point is, then that's cheating. And why don't the schools consider it cheating? And why don't the schools test people knowing that their student bodies are at risk and are doing harmful things? And certainly I don't want my residents in the future to have been strung out on Adderall or to continue to think they can use that or that it's okay. These are people responsible for people's health in the future. It is cheating. It is the health of the student body and the responsibility of the school to protect it. So I think there ought to be very harsh actions taken for kids that cheat like this. I mean, why is it any different than copying somebody's work? It's cheating.
Do you think we'll get to a place of technology and everything else where before a final, everyone has to like pee on a stick? And they can tell if there's Adderall or stimulant, just like a steroid.
I'm starting to advocate that now. That's what I'm thinking, that we do some sort of screening procedure.
Because how can these kids then compete with the Adderall people? Because it really reminds me, remember the movie with Limitless, how the guy took like this pill.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this movie going, God, if I could finish a book in 2 weeks and clean my apartment. Like, you know, that is what...
Meth will do that.
Yeah, that's
for a very short amount of time.
Right.
I was always so happy when I would start tweaking, especially after a break, because I really was like
cleaning
Superman.
Out some drawers.
I was really like Superman. One
He's
time,
taking a television apart.
I dismantled a TV because I was positive Conan O'Brien was talking to me.
So, you had to get in there and get him out.
The TV.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Mike's like, yeah. I get it.
But
do you still watch him today?
Every once in a while.
But here's the deal. These guys are going to continue using those crutches
right.
later because of fear of lack of being able to keep up. And indeed, maybe they can't. And now we're going to have meth-addicted or, you know, amphetamine-addicted residents I'm going to be dealing with? Come on now.
Well, and also, you're talking about it's cheating.
It's cheating.
You're right. In the same regard, though, Drew, you brought it up. Eventually, the chickens will come home to roost.
I know, but they shouldn't maybe.
And I feel, what's your caller's name? I'm sorry.
Katie.
Katie. The slow and just like with anything in life, like the natural bodybuilder versus the juiced up guy,
athletes.
You could go down the line. Eventually, even though it is frustrating right now, you will reap the benefits of the slow and steady protocol in every facet of life.
Yeah.
There's never anybody who, even if it is an effective shortcut, anybody who takes advantage of shortcuts will in the end pay for it.
It's true, however, to try to get a 20-year-old to understand that it's very difficult. And by the way,
I also don't think necessarily it's an unfair – I don't necessarily look at it as cheating because, like you said –
Why?
Because anyone who's smart enough to be going to medical school, they know it's harming their body.
Yeah, they also know they're going to be performing at a slightly higher level than their capacity.
I understand that. But Dr. Drew, in the same regard that you talked to interviewed people at Olympic Village a couple Olympics ago, and they said if you could take 10 years off your life but it was guaranteed you gold, like 98% of the athletes are like, oh, I take the gold. I don't give a fuck about 10 years. And it's just when you are a type A personality, you're really enthusiastic about achieving.
I get that. However, taking the 10 years off the life to get a gold medal doesn't hurt anybody. Being an amphetamine-addicted resident is a dangerous thing.
Valid point.
And that's my concern here. So,
well,
go ahead.
Okay. And some things they say to me is that, like, they're just doing it for the MCAT. And then once they're in, they go to a pass-fail school, so it doesn't really matter. So that's where I'm like kind of like, well, how do I even compete with that?
You'll do fine. But there, I'm sympathetic. I remember how awful it was. The worst period of my life was doing all that work to try to get into medical school. That was because you're doing this unbelievable amount of work, and you don't even know if you're doing it for any good reason. But I would say, look, if your performance is good and you really want to go, you'll go. That's generally been my experience. You know what I mean? Obviously,
what kind of medicine? I mean, do you want to study? What kind of doctor do you want to be?
I would love to get into something neurological related, but I figure once I get in there, I'll be opened up to a lot more.
It's
what
impossible.
Else is out there?
Yeah,
I feel like I only have a very small idea at this time.
Yeah,
I would go for plastic surgery.
Of course.
That's all I'm saying.
Lucrative.
but Heather, the thing, what happens when you get in?
You have great legs there, Heather, though.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I told you.
Don't worry about that.
Very happy about that.
Yeah, that's okay. But I could use a lower facelift in about 5 years if you have the job and you want me to Facebook Live
it. She won't be done for about 9.
For free.
Oh, 12 more. But the fact is you really don't know what you want to do until you get in there. You have no idea that you're actually doing the work. And then a piece of it that people don't realize is the other peers are a big part. You know, the other doctors in that field are a big part of what you go into. Do you like them or the personality of style,
right.
What you like, the way they practice, do you like? It's all very different. So, all right, Katie, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's do one more little break here. We got some more calls. Again, the number here, let me give you that number. It is 323-649-8268. Again, it's 323-649-8268. Do give us a call. We're going to be here for a while more. It's Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop. Anything else you want to promote before we
– Yeah, I've got some live shows. I will be in West Nyack, New York, on Wednesday, the 26th, July.
Where is West Nyack?
In West Nyack. It's part of New York.
Is that like,
I don't
is
know.
That Long Island or something?
No, it's like it? They said it's like an hour. They said it was an Uber, about an hour Uber drive from Manhattan where
is
I'm staying.
Is it a casino or something?
So you know how cheap Peter is. So I actually have a super fan driving me.
So what happened to Heather? Well,
super rape fan.
Yeah. Well, no, I checked her out.
Oh, it's a girl.
Okay. It's a girl, and okay. She sent me a picture. You know, I did say send your license.
You need to Facebook Live the whole trip.
I'm going to. I'll snap it, whatever. But I always do these cute lunches where I have I pick a fan in each city, and I take them out for a cute lunch. And I'm like, why don't we just drive together, and I'll like pick up some snacks on the way for you. But at least we can talk for an hour there. Who cares?
How bad does that go? I'm sure you've had great ones. You've had great ones. How bad have the bad ones been?
They have not been bad. None of them have been bad.
Do they have to be
There's
cute?
One that sometimes...
Can't they just be lunch?
It's like a cute lunch place. But my fans are attractive anyway. But
has there ever been hot lesbo action?
God.
323-649.
I haven't had lesbians. I've had gay guys. I've had mother-daughter. I've had husband-wife. I've had, you know, cute girls.
Any of the husband and friends. Wife combo ever proposition you to go back and do a threesome?
No.
That happens to Mike all the time.
I know. That happens to, like, male comedians
that
all the
happened
time.
To me. That happened to me twice. That's not all the time.
Male comedians get that a lot.
I hear that.
Where all of a sudden they'll go, hey, I want a drink, and they go out, and their guys, you know, you're so funny, you know, D'Elia. Can I watch you fuck my wife? And what? I was having a
yeah.
beer with
D'Elia,
you.
D'Elia has a story about a guy's driver, like some really wealthy man. He had yeah. a driver come up to him and be like, yes, we are a big fan. Please come back to room. You will have sex with wife. And he's like, what? No, I won't. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a little break. Be right back. We are proud to welcome a great new sponsor, Integrity Care Card. This is a service that was started by a recovering addict who actually was a patient of Bob's at one time. Integrity Care Card. It's a refillable debit card that lets you provide financial support to someone you love without the risk of misuse. It's a great idea. That's how it works. Simply sign up, deposit the funds onto the card, share it. Through your Integrity Care Card account, you can keep track of the spending habits and receive real-time spending alerts and block purchases from places like liquor stores, casinos, ATMs. People in recovery often need help making responsible choices with their money. So the Integrity Care Card is a fantastic way to offer support without denying them the independence they deserve. It's a great parenting technique. Come on now. It's better than cash, better than gift cards. This is a true debit card that can make a real difference in someone's life. I love this idea. So if you or someone you know is supporting a loved one in recovery or trying to structure your financial relationship with, say, a child or something, check out Integrity Care Card. Visit integritycarecard.us. Click the banner on doctor.com or call 888-216-4680, 888-216-4680, or integritycarecard.us. This is a great idea. And we are back with the great Heather McDonald. It's You Live, hashtag You Live, the This Life podcast special edition. Thank you, Facebook. Thank you, YouTube. Mike, you all right there?
I'm actually doing very well. I enjoy Heather very much.
Okay. Thank you.
And we've not had any Rudy. See, for this podcast... fans, I'm not sure they know Rudy. Should we get Rudy and just talk to Heather for a minute?
Like, sure. I mean, I know he loves Heather. He's the one who actually pointed out her legs to me.
Oh, well.
Is this a character inside your head?
Hey, Rudy, come on here. Hey, man. Hey, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, dog?
Hey, man.
Hey.
Hey, you told Catherine.
What's up, fool?
Hey, you all right? You're a little high tonight.
Baked out of my mind,
you
dog.
Are baked.
Like, I was hotboxing my Cutlass on the way over here for. Like, I'm like.
By yourself?
See, like 11 of you.
Didn't you? Oh, you don't work today, do you?
It's Sunday, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For like no Jamba Juice on Sunday.
Yeah. This is Heather McDonald. I know you like Heather.
So I'm a big fan.
Oh, you know thank you.
You can visit him at the Jamba Juice in Van Nuys. Van Nuys? Pacoima?
No, Pacoima. That's right, fool. Even though I live in East L.A., made me manager out there. So
yeah. He really spent some time in the prison system.
Oh,
I know
really?
Your brother.
Oh, you do?
That's right. Battles hard.
Who was this fighter that Kimbo Slice? Remember, my brother was obsessed with Kimbo Slice.
Yes, he was.
He's a street fighter.
R.I.P. You don't have to tell me. I know Kimbo.
You know Kimbo, too.
I remember him, like, when he fought in Elite XC and then when he was Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, yeah. Well, Heather's brother was whom you knew in the pen. Did Trucha know her brother, too?
I don't like to talk about that. You know, like,
can I ask you something?
Wait, Heather, before you do
it. Do you think that Jamba Juice has suffered with the pressed juice places popping up everywhere?
Yeah, but, like, you know, there's it's a different demographic. You know, I know, like, a lot of people like organic pressed juices, but... That's stupid, dog, because, like, it takes away all the nutrients and the fibers, you know? Because, like, I just blend that shit. Like, the whole stock.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. You
bring that wheatgrass in all the time.
And then I'll give you an extra boost. You ain't gonna get no boost at Press Juicery. Boost this, Bato. You know what I'm saying? I'm grabbing my balls.
Since you're in the fruit business, have you ever thought about just going rogue entrepreneurial style and having one of those fruit carts that are everywhere in the valley? Because I'm obsessed with them.
I know. My grandpa.
I eat them. I eat them. Don't be afraid. $7. They put that spice and that lemon juice on it.
My grandpa invented that. Like it's actually a sore subject because my grandpa invented putting the pico de gallo on top of mangoes. And
I thought it was your grandma.
No, my grandma figured out that you could cure a lot of diseases with mango puree and witch hazel and little avocado. Like a lot of people don't know, I lost my nose in a crazy accident. I got caught in a radiator.
What?
In my 6'4". And like it ripped it off. My grandma rubbed avocado and some rubbing alcohol and made a salve,
a paste,
and my nose grew back up. It was crazy.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
So he had a roommate, a cellmate in prison that used to take
some
advantage
cilantro
of him.
Every once in a while
used to take advantage of him.
Oh, yeah. I love
how like you brought up Kimbo Slice. You know, like the MMA fighters get the cauliflower.
Oh
hair.
Yes, I love a
That's
cauliflower.
That's what my asshole looks
hair.
Like after he done blasted me so much.
I said why didn't you call for a guard to help you?
Because, like, I don't know. I mean, I like you guys. I've talked about it with Drew. Like, you know, it was scary, but, like, I learned to like it. I told Dr. Drew I had Stockholm butthole.
Oh, I have a question. About that.
What,
Now that gay marriage is legal in California, if two prisoners get married in the prison.
Happens all the time.
Can they have sex?
Can
they have conjugal visits?
It depends on their level of clearance, like what they're in jail for. If it's just regular gen pop.
What if one guy's deeper in than the other?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Yeah, what if one guy's got a big long pito and he gets all the way up to your like third cervix?
That's not deeper. Jesus.
What if he gets into your like fourth lumbar?
Rudy, I just wanted to introduce you to Heather for a minute. So say hi to her.
Heather.
You like her legs? She was a
love your legs. I want to put like queso fresco all over your legs and lick them.
Hey, sad girl's not gonna like this.
Some lemon juice.
Sad girl.
Panocha. What?
What's your wife?
My wife.
Sad girl.
Oh, my wife. She's a beautiful lady. Yeah. I love her. Okay. Now that she lost 185 pounds, I like love her even more.
How did she lose it?
Meth.
Oh.
It was great because like she was doing like a lot of Weight Watchers or you know on Jenny Craig and like she could, nothing
work.
Was working out. So like what I did was. You know, a lot of people don't think this is, like, nice, but I started putting meth in her food without telling her and, like, her horchata and stuff, and she lost 185 pounds. She looks great, but she sawed her leg off because she thought there were bugs in it, you know, so there's downsides, too.
Oh.
You
know.
But she got a dope prosthetic. She got it at Ross Dress for Less.
Prosthetic.
Yeah, it's like pretty nice, you know.
Okay. Well, Rudy, you're coming
like
around.
Like a lot of lacy.
Go to finish up that food tray in the green room that Heather thought was so cool.
Yeah, your mas puto food tray with one piece of already eaten cheese.
Wait, speaking of prosthetics, I have a very good friend whose husband made prosthetics and he left her for an amputee. Not a joke.
But how hot was the amputee?
Not that hot.
Damn.
It was just a missing foot. So it's like. You know, who doesn't love an amputee? But this bitch, like, ruined my friend's life.
Yeah,
so it's kind of hard because you got to have the sympathy because she's an amputee, but she was a homewrecker.
That's right. You want me to kill her?
No, I think they'll end up getting divorced in the end and she'll have the last laugh.
I mean, do you want me to...
We'll cut that out.
Do you want me to wash your car?
All right, Rudy, with that, you're getting a little irritable here. So we'll see you later. Put Mike back on the seat. All right, man. Good to see you.
I love you.
So there you go, Heather. That's Rudy. And
I love him.
Yeah, I figured you would.
But I don't think there are any Jamba Juices in Pacoima. Go Google it before you keep. If you want to keep it,
you don't question Rudy. Just let him say what he's
going to
say.
That's why I don't totally believe him.
Let's go to Kaylee. Let's go to Kaylee on 48 there. Kaylee, what's going on?
Hello, Dr. Drew.
Hey there.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hey there.
First off, Heather McDonald, you look smoking hot.
Oh, thank you.
I'm the Juicy Scoop obsessed. I want a cute lunch really bad.
Oh, do you live in New York?
Where do you live?
Huh?
Susan's passing away as we speak.
Spokane.
Oh, Spokane.
Nice.
Oh, okay. I'm coming to Spokane August 6th. Are you coming to that show?
I already have backstage passes.
Oh, good.
Get her a lunch.
All right. Well, probably. We could make sure that you email me. And
me and my best friend are. We're cute and you love us.
Okay. Well, you probably have won it. So just email me,
okay.
TheRealHeatherMcDonald@gmail.com and just put in the subject, I talk to you on Dr. Drew, and then I'll make sure that you guys have it.
900 emails with that title.
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you heard of the drug Kratom?
Of course.
What is it?
Okay. What are your thoughts on that?
It's an opiate, and anything that binds at the opiate receptor site is a problem for addicts. If you're not an addict, it's no big deal. But,
yeah.
People.
So it's like a Vicodin, or what's it like?
It's like a week. It's more like Tramadol, sort of like that kind of thing. It's like a week opiate.
But you can buy it like
you can get over the counter.
It's like a natural.
Yeah.
Like
we've seen a lot of trouble with it.
So it's for just pain killing, right? Like if you had a bad back or something. Yeah, like what?
They use it in other countries that as like a morning cup of coffee. Like they totally are. I think Thailand too, they'll sometimes use it for relaxing, chilling out, pain relief, that kind of stuff. But
like opium.
It's illegal in some states, right?
I think so. Yeah. They've been working on it. But go ahead. What's the question?
Oh, that was it. I just know people that were addicts and then they started doing Kratom.
How'd it go?
And they're thinking, they're convincing their whole family that it's not addictive, but it is.
It is. It's not as bad as
obviously not.
I mean, if they were on heroin or OxyContin, I'd rather they be on Kratom, if we're talking about would you rather, but they're not clean. They're not clean.
How do you spell it?
Kratom.
Oh. So that's like a newer, that's the hot newer.
You
thing.
Have like there's some. Yeah, you can have psychosis with it.
Yeah, sometimes things like that happen.
But that was all.
That's it. That's all, Kylie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
See you soon.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Bye. A lot of times, though, with especially with opiate addicts, the conversation begins and ends at "Would you rather?"
Yeah, I mean,
and the same thing. For me, when a lot of people come up to me and they're like, I used to be addicted to Oxys. I used to be addicted to Vicodin. Now I just smoke weed a lot. I was like, okay.
Good for you.
Good for you. Honestly, of course, who wouldn't prefer that to OxyContin?
Yep.
But if you wanted a sustainable, happy life, I don't know if that's going to cut it.
Nope, typically not. But because it's always a house of cards when you're an addict and using anything. Typically, just sort of counting down to the next whatever.
Yeah, I haven't been using it daily, so it has been bugging me my occasional use of asthma meds because I don't have an inhaler. Every once in a while, I'll take ephedrine HCL.
Why don't you have an inhaler?
It's a good question. Because it's not really that intense. It really isn't that bad. So I use it three times.
Somebody your age should not be taking ephedrine for asthma.
Okay.
Period.
Okay. There it is.
And you probably shouldn't be taking a beta 2 agonist. You're probably on a steroid.
Well, that answers my initial question.
Cortisone steroid, yeah.
But something like that, would it be, I don't want to say compromising my recovery, but
it's interesting.
It's probably not a good idea for me.
It's not a good idea for you, and it's interesting you gravitated towards that. But we generally, that whole class, you want to stay away from people over the age of 35 or so because you can precipitate some real serious heart problems.
I gravitated towards it because I had some on hand for fat loss, from the bodybuilding days. Mm-hmm. It had nothing else to do with that. It's one super vice leading to the other,
Oh, I have a question I wanted to ask you about. Did you guys hear about the Stevie Ryan, the YouTube star? She also had herself. Yes.
Dude, that is heartbreak. That whole story was heartbreaking.
It was so heartbreaking. And I always say on my platform, whatever, that I'm not going to talk about politics or whatever. But on that day, I just...
Why was that politics?
I'm just saying this because I try not to do a controversial thing on Facebook, but I was so upset about it.
What happened?
I just said, I was aware of her work. And then once I heard about the suicide, I was started to go through her social media and the last, couple months of her Instagram, at least at least half were her just smoking joints.
Oh.
Okay. Videos of it, holding it, smoking it. And I made a comment and I was like, you know, she wasn't doing funny videos. She wasn't with friends. She was alone in her house smoking pot. And I said, you know, just beware if you have issues with depression, which she admitted that she did, to be careful of alcohol and prescription drugs and weed.
Yeah.
Well, you cannot say anything at all negative about weed with some people because they lose their freaking minds.
Yeah.
And so I got a lot of, I got a lot of hate going back and forth. I just had to take down the whole thread on my page. Who are you to say you don't know? And I was like, okay, but is that not a fair statement to say? If you battle depression, you need to be careful about legal narcotics, whether it's alcohol.
You need to be substances of any type. Medications of any type.
Right. Prescription
drugs,
whatever.
Your sleep patterns, your nutritional patterns, your relationship. You got to watch out for a lot of stuff. You ever met a weed addict? Here, let me introduce you to my Catherine. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's, I'm a bad example because I'm a polysubstance.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would be addicted to anything that that hits that.
No, but I know, I
loved weed, but.
Yeah. I do know weed addicts, like where they're at the party and they can't stay longer than a couple hours. You know, they have to leave. They have to go take their, do whatever.
What I know, when I know, because there's plenty of people who are massive pot smokers that I do not think are addicts.
Yep, I agree.
The difference is like, I know people who cannot do anything in their life unless they get baked before or have the promise that they will get baked before. And I mean anything. Like, they're not going to that Dodger game unless you're going to smoke a joint in the car. They're not going on a vacation unless it's to a place where they can take their weed with them. I mean, there's those people out there. And to kind of – just because you're pro-weed, which I am, by the way. Even though I'm an addict, I am super pro-legalization, pro-weed. It doesn't mean that you can just completely throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, it's a totally innocuous substance. It's like, no, it's a powerful.
But there are people who smoke a lot that we don't know if they're addict or not. They just smoke a lot.
Then there's people who just smoke a lot of weed, yeah.
So,
I mean, what did you think about that? What did you think?
I think that's a reasonable statement you made. It's sad.
Listen, give me all the crap you want. Heather is totally right. I'm super pro legalization.
I'm glad it's legal.
But for young people and for people with any type of mental health problem, or even suspect they may have a mental health problem, that is not for you. The end. Send all the hate mail you want.
Right.
It's not only a perfectly fine statement that you made. It's irresponsible to think otherwise.
Yeah. Let's go to call again.
Oh, Tupperware lady says hi.
That is insane.
That's insane, Kathleen. Right.
We can't even dare talk about that story, can we?
Just say hi back.
Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, we love you. I've missed you so much.
Yeah, it's 323-864-9-8268. Give us a call. 323-864-9-8268. Yeah, a few more minutes. She's in San Diego, isn't she? Kathleen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember the whole.
Yeah.
That's on the next podcast.
That's a juicy scoop.
Oh, okay. Is it ever?
Yeah.
I'll hear about it.
Literally,
then.
Figuratively.
She was an escort.
Uh-huh.
And
ooh, I love hooker stories. They're my favorite.
Well, this one's a good
especially one. Especially high class ones.
Well, this involved Tupperware and
bodily functions.
Things for guys to enjoy later. So,
she would like pack up something to go?
Essentially, a guy paid her money to do something to his body, and she said, I'm not pack going there.
But I'll send a
and
shit?
And he said, okay, then why don't you go take this here Tupperware? Apply it to the Tupperware, and I'll save it and take care of it later.
Let's move on.
Oh my God!
But Kathleen, please do call in. Would LARPer remember?
LARPer. Oh yeah. I forgot she was a LARPer. Yeah, she would remember.
Okay, because if Kathleen calls up and said, I just want to make sure she remembers. Lindsay was talking to one of the other
LARPer.
Lindsay was talking to one of the other. I forget what you have. Somebody else person with the purple hair, Lauren. Yeah. And I called her LARPer or something, or made fun of her. And Lauren was like, oh yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yes. LARPing is great.
LARPing is fantastic.
LARPing is fantastic. Do you know what LARPing is?
No. What's that?
Live action role playing. So it's like you ever see those people having sword fights with, like, foam swords?
Yeah.
That's LARPing.
But it's sexual?
No.
Oh.
No, it's just like they pretend that they're medieval knights or they're
Star Wars. They can be forest animals and stuff.
Like medieval times.
Yeah. No. But she was an animal, wasn't she, or something?
Oh, like a fluffy?
No, they're like a night owl sitting in a tree or something. Hey, let's go to calls. Let's go to Claudia. Claudia's got, I think, something for you, Heather. Claudia, you there?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, go ahead.
Hi. First of all, Dr. Drew, I'm pretty sure I'm your biggest fan ever.
Oh,
and I miss your show on HLN so much.
Thank you.
I can't even tell you. I'm devastated. And it's good to see you, Mike.
Thank you.
But the question that I had for you, Dr. Drew, is regarding Cosmo DiNardo, the guy in Philadelphia that killed the four boys.
This was wild.
Are you crazy?
A little bit. Yeah, I tried to read about it this morning, and I didn't see much detail in it. But go ahead.
Well, he had been diagnosed schizophrenic. He had been committed to a mental institution against his will in the past. These things were known. And he had also been convicted of an unlawful gun charge, and they let it go. They didn't do anything about it, law enforcement. And, you know, because of all this, that's what...
Well, okay.
Precipitated.
Right. So
what are your thoughts on...
Well, my thoughts are the same as on so many of the stories we used to cover on HLN, which is doctors can't do their job. The laws are such that physicians can't say something on the order of, you know, I really know this kid's going to be a problem. I know he's saying he's not going to be, but I believe he's going to be. They just put him in front of a judge. Kid goes, I'm fine. I don't want to hurt anybody. That's it. The doctor can come in and say, I'm certain, like the kid that shot up the theater in Denver, I'm certain there's a psychiatrist out there. I was like, I was telling everybody, I told everybody, but I didn't have enough to put him on a hold. And if I put him on a hold, A, there's no beds to hold him. B, there's no hospital that has hold beds. And three, they'll let him out in a few days anyway.
Right.
It's a mess that we can't – people's clinical judgment, particularly in mental health, doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter in terms of length of stay in the hospital. People talk about parity in healthcare. There's no parity for mental health because what the mental health professional says doesn't matter. I've been on both sides of that. I've been on obviously calling about medical issues, and I magically get as many days as I want for that medically ill patient. When I call about a psychiatric issue, they tell me I don't know what I'm talking about and to go away and get the patient out. It's ridiculous.
Well,
and that's the difference right there.
Yeah.
So the murderer, the suspected murderer was in and out of mental institutions?
That, and there was some rumor I heard, too, that he had a head injury, and he was pretty normal before the head injury. Is that accurate? You
horrible.
Heard that? Yeah, because the manifestations of head injuries are protean, are very difficult. All the whack packers on
right.
Stern, they're
well,
all
no,
head
how about
patients.
How about Gary Busey's a much better example, you know, where if you ever saw his public behavior before the motorcycle accident, he's a wildly different person.
And wasn't the murder suspect come from a very wealthy family? So I wonder if that. You know, not my kid type of stuff was happening.
It happens a lot.
It
happens so much in addiction. Yeah. I can't even begin to explain how.
Yeah, believe me, I've seen a million of those.
But
Claudia, we'll see how it unfolds. It's a very, very tragic story.
Good question.
Yeah, and then the whole gun issue, and people with mental health getting guns. It's just there's you know many layers to this.
Well, I think a little more clarity was shined on this exam. What you're talking about exactly, Dr. Drew, is that you as a physician, you ask for something physical, medical.
Yeah,
you,
no problem.
Everything's taken care of. I do not. I pay completely out of pocket for my shrink.
Yeah.
But a chiropractor is taken care of by insurance.
I know.
You know, like what
know,
on earth
please.
Is?
I know. Don't even.
Well, you know how I feel about a free crack. I love a crack back.
And by the way, that was not meant to be like a knock on chiropractors. I'm simply
just
pointing
showing
out.
How,
no,
I'm pointing out that
a
that
mental,
is. I
yes.
do believe my shrink has helped keep me alive.
I was going to say life threatening illnesses versus discomfort.
Yes.
The life threatening mental health issues get. Our way we handle mental health is just woeful, woeful, woeful.
Yeah.
Really bad. But this one, you know, hopefully something will.
Right at the end of the tunnel in the near decade or so for our healthcare system in terms of this particular problem.
It seems to be getting worse. I don't know where it heads back. I just now right. now we have a shortage of psychiatrists and a shortage of psychiatric beds on top of everything else. So I don't know.
My God.
I don't know how it works. I don't get it. Let's look at all the people on the streets. That's all mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right, Claudia. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, great.
And by the way, unnecessarily so. People, if you could get in and treat them, they could get them back. You could put them together again. But they,
yeah, but
they,
the thing is, how do you make someone?
That you have to. That's the point. You they're much happier when you do.
You know that movie Glass Castle is
out this weekend. What's that about?
It was based on a book about this girl that's her family were like happy homeless people. Like they just wanted to be homeless. I don't know if the mom was mentally ill or she just really. And then the daughter becomes this very successful person, and she's going to the opera one night, and she's in Manhattan, and
Woody Harrelson.
She's walking out of her apartment, and there's her mom sifting through the trash.
Yeah, it looks romanticized, very romanticized.
I don't know. It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson, right?
I don't know if Woody Harrelson. Naomi Watts is the
mom.
Is the mom, yeah. And
did I see Woody Harrelson?
Brie Olsen is the daughter.
I'm not aware of the movie.
It was a huge book. It was a huge book, like a decade ago.
If you want the best cinematic exploration of this topic I've ever seen was The Soloist.
Oh yeah,
that was a good that because it really it was fair with the controversies on both sides. Mm-hmm. It really was. On making people, Woody's in the Planet of the Apes movie. who's the father in the film? Look it up.
Another one is Philip Seymour Hoffman. Thomas Hayden Church recently made a movie that not a lot of people know about, where he played a former professional boxer who now lives on Skid Row.
Woody Harrelson's in it. Hey, I
Dr.
got
Drew.
It.
Dr. Drew. And I forgot the name.
You're in the Woody.
But that was a devastating and really, I thought,
what's
a very
about?
Important investigation of homelessness.
Oh, what's it called?
I forgot, man. It's Thomas Hayden Church stars in it, and he like I said, he plays a boxer who then ends up living on Skid Row, and it has to do.
Now that's all the head injury stuff,
right?
Yeah.
And it dives right into
good
mental health and homelessness and how it plays out.
Great,
very very good.
Right. Well, Heather, our time is up here.
Thank
it's
you.
It's been a privilege as always. We'll have to go have a cute dinner now.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody go to heathermcdonald.net. I've got lots of shows booked all through the end of the year. Check me out in a city near you. Sometimes I do live podcasts too, as well as stand-up. So
I don't mean to brag. Available on Netflix now?
I don't know if it's on Netflix anymore, but it's you just find it. Whatever.
You'll
you can watch it for free on YouTube. Who cares? I didn't make any money off it anyway, so
really?
Why should you pay for it?
It was so good.
That's why I don't have my manager anymore. Now
Uh-oh.
I just have my husband.
Oh.
I know how
How's
he,
that working out?
I know how he screws me, so it's been the same, so I won't be no surprises.
Mike, doesn't smoke crack, though.
Thank you for doing You Live. If,
yes,
if
thank
the demand
you.
Remains, we'll keep doing some. Maybe we'll spin it off.
Really had a good time.
Yeah. It's good, right? Thank you, Susan, for producing such great shows. And Tony and Nate.
Had a thank lot of viewers. Just,
yeah.
Thank you, Susan.
And you can
You're
find
amazing.
Us.
Oh, you still welcome. Look great.
And you can find us at
for my age.
Beauty and Essex. After
for my legs. Oh.
We're wearing like the same outfit. She's got a really good body still.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Well, you met her in a bikini.
Dr.
You had
Drew
to keep
I,
it up.
Dr. Drew and I made an appearance on Jim Jeffries' show that was on FX for a while. And the number one star, without question, hands down, was Susan's titties.
Oh, yeah. And her legs, too. They're pretty good. So.
Yeah, she's hot.
She did a good eye roll at one point, too. That was pretty funny. All right, that concludes these podcasts. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. So when you're sick, the last thing you want to do is get dressed and drive to a doctor's office or an urgent care. Listen, you can get a licensed, highly trained, board-certified physician right in your home or office, on demand, on your schedule, without exposing yourself to anybody else sick or waiting. That is exactly what you get with Heal. Heal is a mobile app that puts the power of on-demand medical care at your fingertips. Simply sign up at Heal.com, download the app, and you will get a top-notch board-certified physician when and where you need it. Within 2 hours, Heal doctors are on call 7 days a week, 365 days a year, in a growing number of locations, including Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. And Heal accepts most major insurance plans, so you'll be responsible for just your copay with most insurances, and it is otherwise $99 all in without insurance. I serve on the Heal Advisory Board because I believe this is the future of medicine. I cannot say enough about the quality of care available through Heal, and I urge you to check it out today. For more information, visit heal.com/Drew. That is heal.com/Drew.
Remember, you can find all these podcasts at drdrew.com. The Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast, and the Adam and Drew podcast, which is available 5 days a week. Find them all on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe and get it first. And if you're really happy, click on the Amazon banner at drdrew.com to help support the show. We'll thank you for it. If you join the email list via drdrew.com/contact, we'll send you a weekly infusion newsletter with Dr. Drew's news. We're so grateful when you get in touch. We read all your emails and we'll bring you the subject matter you want to hear about.
You live.